So first off, I wanted to kind of recap a little bit of what we talked about previous Lord's Day. One of the things we looked at was the office bearers by union with Christ, and that we long to impart spiritual good to our children. However, there are barriers that impede us from doing that, and that's our foolishness, our weakness, and our corruption of our own sin. We can only do this by walking in the anointing of Jesus Christ. And we walk through the Heidelberg Catechism, question 31, as well as question 32, and the application of that to us. We also talked about our union with Christ. We share his offices in a limited but important way. And the office bearing has huge implications for leading families. And to our wives and our children, we serve as... Can anybody remember the three offices in which we serve as? Amen. Thank you. Bearing the image of the Father of glory, and also bearing the image of husband, we are to be like the heavenly husband. We also talked about the prophet in the home. The essential task of the prophet is to be God's spokesman to people. But I think Thomas had a very eloquent definition of the prophet. Can you of course.
The prophet is someone who speaks God's word directly. God speaks his word through him.
Thank you, Thomas. Inspired by the Spirit, the apostles spoke and wrote God's word. Jesus is the ultimate omniscient prophet. Prophet in the home confesses our faith and speaks forth the counsel of God given by the Bible. And we make truths known to our children. How then should we teach as a prophet in our home? We teach with passion. We teach with God's authority. Steward. We teach through family worship, which we pointed out through the story of John Patton. We also teach through examples, teach by sharing our life. We teach for a holistic maturity. We also train our children physically, showing that the body is a gift from God and to respect the rules of health and treat their bodies with honor. So that's a bit of a quick recap of last Lord's Day discussion. So we'll go into today the priest in the home and the king in the home. So we who trust in Christ are a royal priesthood, authorized and anointed to perform priestly service in God's spiritual temple. And this refers back to 1 Peter 2 and 5 and 9. We can never repeat the once and for all sacrifice of Christ for sin because Jesus has finished the work to make his elect people perfect. And that's Hebrews 10, verse 12 and 14. Nor do we stand as a mediator between God and man, for there is only one mediator. And that's 1 Timothy, verse 2, 5, and 6. So we share in his priesthood because of our union with Christ. The Bible, Bible calls redeemed people priests. And, Revelation 1, 6, verse 5, 10, and 10, 6. So I'm just pointing out these Bible verses so as you can all can go back and read the verses as necessary. Because I have a lot of content to cover here, so I just wanted to get through. What are the ways in which a man should operate as priest in the home? First and foremost, we have sacrifice yourself for your wife. Paul says in Ephesians 5:25-26, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, William Gouge, an English Puritan clergyman and author, wrote Domestical Duties in 1622. This was a popular and widely read conduct book providing advice and rules for family life. The work is divided into eight treatises, starting with the examination of the Bible passages that give authority to his ideas of domestic duty, followed by a consideration of marriage and the mutual duties between husband and wife, and the six further treatises on the specific duties of wives, husbands, children, parents, servants, and masters. Gouge writes of husbands that all the duties of a husband are comprised under one word. Can anybody tell me what that word may be? Pete?
Love.
When we love with a Christ-like love, we serve as spiritual priests who offer a pleasing sacrifice to the Lord. This is affirmed by Paul, who wrote in Ephesians 2, "Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." What does it mean to love your wife like a priest? What it means is loving your wife as Christ loved the church. The church is a particular group of people whom God chose before time began and called to salvation. He has a particular and exclusive love for his elect. We look to Romans 1:7 and Galatians 2:20. As men, we must love our wives with a particular and exclusive love in which no other woman may share. We may not realize how important it is to our wives to know that we have forsaken all others to love her alone until death separates us, but it is. We must also consider the security and happiness of our children that they receive when they see their fathers love their mothers with an exclusive, binding love. We must also love our wives with self-giving love. Ephesians 5:25 says, "Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Jesus voluntarily died as a surety, substitute, and representative of his elect people. Christ stood under the curse of God for our sins. In giving himself, Christ gave his most precious treasure, for he was of infinite value. Christ was crucified on the cross for unworthy, ungrateful enemies of God. So men, love your wives with a self-giving love. Sacrifice for her, provide for her, and cherish her. Give her your thoughts, your time, your talk, and your tenderness, and your touch. You must touch her heart before you touch her body. Stop measuring out small amounts of your love according to what she has done for you lately, and start pouring out love by the buckets according to the infinite riches of Christ's love for you. This is an area that I have grown over time. My wife, unfortunately, is not here. She's with my daughter, who's sick. But over the years, as I matured, not only my walk with Christ, but as a man, I realized that I needed to do that, pour out that love to my wife, that sacrificial love. And over the years, it has blossomed, my relationship with my wife. Love our wives with a sanctifying love. Christ gave himself for his bride, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. What is the most important gift a husband can give his wife? Family worship. Any other?
Himself.
What's that?
Himself.
Christ. Well, it's not money. It's not a house, not a car, or nothing, any material value, anything of material value. But best gift that we can give is to bring her to God so that she can glorify him and enjoy him forever. We speak the word to her, pray for her soul, both in private prayer time and with her as well. Men, God calls us to be priestly ministers with our wives. Though we cannot be her Savior, we can be a flesh and blood image of a Savior. It is truly amazing that the Father has given us this responsibility. Because we are poor, weak, foolish, and corrupt. But in Christ, our priest, we have everything we need to serve our wives in a priestly manner. Amen. I was reading through that section. It really was encouraging to me. So we also need to intercede for our children. Christian fathers can and do share in Christ's priestly work by praying for their children. We see this priestly work in the way Job ministered before the Lord for his family. In Job 1, verse 1 and verse 4 through 5. Like Job, we must intercede for our children. If we do not pray for our children, if we do not pray for our children, how can we say that we fear the Lord? It should not be some tragedy or moral disaster to make us pray for our family. We would pray for our children knowing that we must bring even the secret sins of their hearts to the Holy One. Let us pray in the fear of the Lord, knowing that our hearts and theirs are deeply corrupt. I want to pause here for a second because I earlier last week, my office was having this team building session, and they had a gentleman come in to speak to us. He was like a psychologist or psychiatrist. Anyway, you ever heard of these self-assessments, these like Myers-Briggs and these different type of tests? So we're going through this exercise. And the one thing he kept saying that struck me, he was saying, the beginning of knowledge is the understanding of self. He kept saying that. The beginning of knowledge is the understanding of self. So that kind of struck me. I was like, wow, that is completely opposite to what the Word says. So anyway, that came to me. I just wanted to share that with y'all because of what we talked about here. Intercede for our children with urgency. We don't know how much time we or any one of us, our sons or daughters, will remain on earth, so we need to pray for them now. Intercede for your children with perseverance. We must ask ourselves, are we faithful in the priestly work of intercession? We should pray for our children daily, one by one, so that they may each know his sin, each may keep his sin, each may go to the Savior, and may live a life of holiness. We serve our families as priests by looking to the great high priest whose blood and righteousness can save the most hard-hearted child and drive out the most stubborn sin of a believer. We are given a wonderful privilege by Christ to be priests in Him. And let us not deny this privilege. Make our homes a holy temple in which we offer daily sacrifices of love to our wives and to our children. Lift prayers for our children like a sweet-smelling incense to the throne of grace, so we exercise our priestly ministry as husbands and fathers. We will discover the presence of the living God in our family. I just wanted to say, too, that I've been speaking to my father. As you all know, my father is dealing with cancer. And I had a very intimate conversation with him. What I was assured of was his salvation. Talk about being a priest in the home, you know, our children, but also our family members. So that in and of itself made a huge difference in my life and my sharing my beliefs with my family and knowing that my father is a believer. He's come to Christ and knows Christ as his Savior. That was very impactful to me. And that was through several conversations I had with my dad. Wonderful conversations, by the way. Which I had never had that type of conversation with him before. But it's very special. So I want to share that with you all. So we've just discussed the priest in the home. So we'll look at king in the home. The Son of God is the most high king, supreme in his authority and sovereign in his power. The Heidelberg Catechism explains Christ's anointing as king, saying he is ordained of God the Father and anointed with the Holy Ghost to be our eternal king, who governs us by his word and spirit, and who defends and preserves us in the enjoyment of the salvation he has purchased for us. Worldly dictators, tyrants, and other oppressors pretend godlike majesty. They cannot usurp the Lord's throne. We see that a lot, don't we? God graciously extends the sure mercies of his covenant with David to all believers, granting us the promise to reign with him as God. Isaiah 55:30 and Revelation 1:6 and 5:10 as well. God's purpose in creation that man has his very image should subdue and have dominion over the earth and sea. Genesis 1:26-28. Fathers have the right and responsibility to be images of the king in our homes. We are to be kings in the home, whose rule is just, wise, and loving. So how does the head of the household exercise this loving authority? One is we defend our children. At times, a father must defend his children from physical danger. Praise the Lord, I haven't had to do that. I am prepared to do that. However, we must be mindful of defending our family spiritually as well. Our fight is with divine weapons, not weapons of the flesh. 2 Corinthians 10. Defend our children against the ungodly abuse of electronic media. Communication technology can at times be helpful. However, and I think was it Dave that went over this? Or talking about communication. But anyway, can be helpful. However, it can also create an illusion of intimacy without fostering real relationships or an active life of service. So we need to be mindful of that with the proliferation of digital media and devices in our culture. We should provide family-oriented alternatives such as reading to them, which we do, playing games, sports, together as a family, and involving them in your own work or recreational pursuits. So we need to also defend our children against unwise romantic relationships. Romance can be stronger than death, and young people often lack the wisdom to discern the end results of immediate choices. The ideal of parental supervision may seem archaic and burdensome, but in Proverbs we see the wise father repeating warning his son against immoral women. That's verse 2:16 through 19. Reasonable rules and godly counsel in context of a loving relationship with your children will go a long way to defend them against the sexual perverse culture. Defend your children against unjust authorities. Will you go to bat for your kids, for your children? I will. Fathers should stand up for their children against powerful and intimidating figures with fearless, respectful integrity. We must teach them to stand for themselves against such injustice. Our children will love and respect us if we use our kingly authority to defend them from evil. But even if they do not, your exercising of kingly authority will bring glory to Christ. Discipline your children. Jesus says in Revelation 3:19, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten be zealous therefore and repent." Christ is the perfect image of God, the Father, of whom Hebrews 12:6 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Therefore, it comes to no surprise that the Bible often calls fathers to discipline their children, even corporately. Proverbs 13:24, 19:18, and 22:15. So discipline your children in love. Before dealing with your child, search your heart. Never discipline while your heart is full of wrath. Biblical discipline is always an act of love. Our children will recognize kindness and will respond accordingly. Do not provoke your children to anger. Discipline only after instruction and reproof. Do not discipline a childish misunderstanding, only willful disobedience to a clear and specific command. Make sure your child understands your expectations. Discipline with appropriate use of corporal punishment. A firm spank on the child's rear end will not injure him, but will teach him what mere words cannot. Sin does hurt. I have my parents use corporal punishment when they discipline me. Fortunately, I had to go out and get the device of punishment and bring it into the house and tell me to go get a stick off the tree. So many of you older folks can probably remember that. Go get the switch. Remember that? Okay. Discipline your children in honor. Never humiliate a child in front of others. Discipline in the form of honor, in which you treat children as responsible thinking people. Discipline your children with consistency. Amen. I speak to that because A lot of times I am not consistent. Consistent discipline will help your children see past you to the unchanging law of God. Discipline your children for repentance. Always remember that the goal of discipline, as our Lord said, is that those we love should repent and be zealous for God. A spank should be like a tap of a shepherd's staff on the side of a sheep headed for the edge of a cliff. Discipline your children in prayerful humility. Do not discipline in an attempt to control your children. Soon you will discover you cannot. Discipline is a form of human guidance. We must join our instructions, rebukes, appeals, and spankings to sincere petitions to the Lord that He will take away the heart of flesh to our children. He alone is King of our hearts. So, in conclusion, I know all fathers feel guilt, as we should, about our failures, our inadequacy in leading our families. But I want you to know, brothers, let me remind you that when you become discouraged and you will try to lead your family in discipleship, the Lord Christ says to you, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28:20. Remember, we cannot exercise the office of Christ apart from Christ. Apart from Him, you can do nothing. But if you abide in Him, you will bear much fruit. Look to Christ. Rely upon the Holy Spirit, who anoints you out of His fullness. When guilt and shame take your sins as a husband and a father to your great high priest, wash your conscience in His precious blood. Cry out to the Lamb who is slain so that you can love your wife and your children as Christ loves His own. Your weakness can be the platform where His strength is displayed. So I like to read this prayer. It's a Puritan prayer that was mentioned in the book. Let those that are united to me in tender ties be precious in thy sight and devote to thy glory. Sanctify and prosper my domestic discipline, my domestic example, that my house may be a nursery for heaven and a church as the garden of the Lord. Enrich as trees of righteousness of thy planting for thy glory. Let not those in my family fall short of heaven as last, but grant that the promising appearance of tender conscience, of soft hearts, of the alarms and delights of thy word may not be blotted out, but may bring forth judgment unto victory in all those whom I love. I want to thank you all for your prayers, for your attentiveness, and I also suggest that you all, if you don't have this book, please get it. It is it's one of those books you should keep at your desk, at your nightstand, everywhere, so you can always refer to it, because there's some valuable truths in this. So I want to thank you all.